Okay, we're doing a short learning of Pirkei Avot. We're up to the second chapter, the fourth Mishnah. Hu haya omer, he used to say, and it seems we're quoting, we're continuing quotes from Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Asei ritzono kirtzoncha, do his will, the God's will, kirtzoncha, like your own will, kadei sheyaseh ritzoncha kirtzono, so that he does your will like his will. Now, if that's to be understood simply, that's very problematic. So I'm never serving God, I'm always serving myself, right? I'm doing what he wants so that he should do what I want. It's a problem, right? Uvatel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, and you undo your own will for the sake of his will, kadei sheyivatel ritzon acherim mipnei ritzoncha, so that he'll undo the will of others for your will. Okay, so before we continue, let's see Rashi. Hu haya omer, he used to say, Rabban Gamliel. That's a continuation of Rabban Gamliel from Mishnah Beis. Aser tzono kirtzoncha, do his will like your own, shafiru b'shash te'aser chefzecha, te'aser shem shamayim. So he says, a totally different understanding in the Mishnah. He says, the idea here is that there are a lot of things that we want to do. I want to eat supper. I want to sleep. I want to party. I want to eat challah on Shabbos. I want to eat the yamichot. There are a lot of things we want to do. And he says that when Rashi explains the Mishnah, say ritzono kirtzonecha, when the Mishnah says, do his will like your will, that's a reference to the fact that even when you're doing what you want, do it with the proper intent. Do it for the sake of heaven. And you'll be surprised. This sounds like something that's like very highfalutin. But every person could really do this. If you stop and think about it, you could refocus your thoughts. It takes years to perfect it. But if you try this Shabbos, stopping before you delve into the chon and the kugel and everything else, stop for a second and tell yourself, I have a mitzvah to enjoy the Shabbos. I'm going to do this for the sake of enjoying the Shabbos. You'll have a totally different experience eating that chon and kugel and everything else. Before you go to sleep, you're taking your Shabbos afternoon nap. And everyone knows Shabbos afternoon after the chon, the sleep you get then is not like any other day of the week, right? Okay, stop for a second before you do it and tell yourself, I have a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, and that's what I'm about to do. You're going to get more joy out of it. Rashi says a concept which most people don't experience throughout their life. Usually we think of keeping Torah and mitzvos as That's when I have to wake up on time for davening. You know, that's when I want to sleep and the Torah tells me get up. I want to eat and the Torah says it's Yom Kippur, don't eat. You know, we always think of keeping mitzvahs as when I do what I don't want to do. When I do what I do want to do, so then that's okay, that's me. So no, we have to know that there are a lot of things that we want to do that are within the realm of a mitzvah, potentially. A lot of what we do during the day, I should be eating breakfast, lunch, and supper. I should be sleeping at night, and maybe I should be taking a nap in the afternoon. But all of those actions can take on a totally different meaning if I pause beforehand and think and try to focus how I'm doing it. And if I really do that, then I might do it differently as well. I might end up thinking about my friend when I'm eating the chont, and not only about myself, because I've refocused myself a little bit. I've made it less animalistic. So Rashi gives us a totally different understanding in the Mishnah. He says, "Aser ritzono kirtzonecha," is a reference to when you do your will, do it with His will.
The simple chats wouldn't seem to be like that. The things that He wants you to do, you should do with the same.
Right, that's what I would think.
As the things that He wants you to do.
Right? I would think so too. That's not what Rashi says. But we said that understanding leads us to a problem, right? Because with that understanding, you end up that you're serving yourself the whole time. Kedei she'yaseh. So how does Rashi explain that? Kedei she'yaseh ritzoncha kirtzono. Kedei she'itnu lecha min ha'shamayim tova be'ayin yafa. Says you will only gain from it. We have to understand what the word kedei means, right? Does kedei mean for the sole purpose, or and you will benefit? Right. On a simple level, we haven't answered that question. Batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, shetachshov efsed mitzvah keneged schara. And that's Rashi's shita throughout Pirkei Avos, that Mishnayos can be repetitive. You could see the same concept a few times. That doesn't bother Rashi. שיבטל רצון אחרים הקמים עליך לרעה, ויש ספרים שזאת הלכה כתובה בפרק בן זומה. In different editions, this is written elsewhere. And now this time we'll finish the Mishnah. Hillel Omer, we know the famous Hillel who came from Babylon and led the Jewish people, he said, אל תפרוש עצמך מן הציבור, don't separate yourself from the crowd. ואל תאמין בעצמך עד יום מותך, and don't believe in yourself till the day you die. A person should always doubt himself on some level. ואל תדין את חברך עד שתגיע למקומו, and don't judge your friend till you reach his spot. ואל תאמר דבר שאי אפשר לשמוע שסופו להישמע. Let's leave that for Rashi, because that sentence has many understandings. Don't say something that cannot be heard and will ultimately be heard. That's the literal translation. Don't say, when I have a free moment, I'll learn. Maybe you'll never have a free moment. So Rashi explains. This Hillel is the same Hillel, the elder, which we encountered in the first chapter. Don't separate yourself from the crowd. But if you see the crowd is in a sorrow state, so join their sorrow state. A person could say, what do I care what's doing with the American economy? I put all my money in gold. I'm doing okay. A person could say, well, what do I care if there's World War II going on? I'm out in Switzerland. I'm okay. So we say, no, that's not right. Al tifrosh atzmecha. A person should not separate himself from the crowd. Kedei shetismach imahin, because if you are part of the crowd in their sorrow, then you will also share in their rejoicing. Kmo she'amar pasuk, as the verse says, that sisu itam asos kol ha'mitavlin aleha. All those who mourned over Jerusalem will merit to rejoice with her. Kedamrinan kol mi she'eino meshtatef matzibur ino roe b'nechamat hatzibur. And we have a tradition that whoever doesn't join the congregation in their mourning will not join them in their celebration. Ve'eino roe siman bracha le'olam b'perek achon detanit. The Talmud tells us in the end of Tanis that he will never merit to see a blessing, a person who doesn't join them. And for those of you, all you newcomers, we'll be beginning class in 2 minutes. We're just finishing this Mishnah, and then we'll begin. This was just a fill-in while we waited for all you guys to come up. Ad shetagei limkomo, al ta'amin be'atzmecha, the Mishnah says, don't believe in yourself till the day you die. Sharei Yochanan Kohen Gadol, for we have on tradition that there was a Kohen Gadol in the period of the Second Temple named Yochanan. Shimesh b'kohuna gdola 80 shana, he was the high priest for 80 years. Ulvasof nasa tzduki, and then after 80 years of being a faithful high priest, the equivalent of being the chief rabbi, he became a Sadducee. He left the tradition, left the fold. So 80 years he was the top man. You'd ask yourself, after 80 years, what could seduce him to leave the tradition? You see, till the day you die, you never know where you'll end up. What? Yeah? Ad shetagei limkomo, we said, don't judge your friend till you reach his place. Till you're put in the exact same situation and you find that you were able to surmount that situation, don't assume that you'd do any better than him. And the same thing we found true with Yeravam ben Nevat, when King Solomon built the temple, he finished the temple. So the next morning was going to be the inauguration. Everyone was gathering to celebrate the building of the Beit HaMikdash. What did King Solomon do that night? He goes to sleep, he puts the keys under his pillow, so that he wakes up early the next morning and brings the morning sacrifice, bizmano, and it's set time at the crack of dawn. What did Pharaoh's daughter do? She tricked him, he was sleeping. She had her servant spread out a tapestry over the ceiling of copper, and it looked mazalot kochavim mitzuerim bo. She had constellations moving on it. So he's looking at the sky and he sees constellations in this position, and then he's looking again and he sees them in another position. She's really worked it out so that he thinks it's still night. Kedei la'atoto balayla, so that throughout the night he's looking up at that sky and he's like, oh, it's still night. Ve'le'enot migufo shelotot tzadik, and to enjoy the body of that tzadik, to sleep with him. So, okay, he's been working hard. Who over here wouldn't sleep late if they thought it was still 12 o'clock at night? You know, once upon a time they had analog clocks, not digital. So if your battery stops, you think it's still 12 o'clock at night, you keep waking up and looking at the clock. So who over here wouldn't sleep 4 hours into the day? What's 4 hours into the day? That's 10 o'clock in the morning today. So King Solomon, he's sleeping till 10. He didn't get up. He didn't bring the morning sacrifice. And about that hour, it says in the Jerusalem Talmud, that's when we gave this ruling that the morning sacrifice could be brought up to 4 hours into the day. So what did Yerovam ben Nevat do? Kibetz kol shifto shel Ephraim v'eshkin lepitcho shel Shlomo la'artio al zot. He gathered the whole tribe of Ephraim and he came and gave King Solomon a whole speech of rebuke. Yatzta bat kol v'amra lo rasha. A heavenly voice came out and said, wicked one, atam chayvo al ha-shogeg. You are holding it against him when it wasn't his fault. He made a mistake. Ze shamar katuv kedaber Ephraim retet kshenirta Ephraim v'egid el ha-tamid sheshaha. That's what the verse says. When Ephraim got so excited over King Solomon's error, when in truth, when they took the throne, so then they purposely caused the Jewish people to go after idol worship. Hillel said, "Al tomar davar, klomar al tomar davar, al davar shel Torah shatay chol ishma achshav shetishma levasof." Don't say, I'll hear that shir later. I'll catch it online. Chazal warned us. Don't say, that piece of Torah, I'll hear it a different time. No, don't say, that's how Rashi explains these words in the Mishnah. Don't say, I even though I could hear it now, I'll hear it later. Ela le'alta hatos nechal ishma. But right away when you could hear it, hear Torah. Perush acher, another understanding is, v'al tomar davar, klomar al tomar davar sod, she'ifshar lishmo la'acherim. An alternate understanding is, if you have a secret, don't tell. If you don't want it to be known by anyone, then don't tell anyone. Shim tomar, sofo lishama ba'olam, shata gilita lo tasod. Because if you do tell someone, not only will the secret be out of the bag, you should know that everyone's going to know, man, that you're the one that let it out of the bag. So the best way to keep a secret is not to tell anyone. And most people have a hard time with that. They got to tell someone. And that's how secrets get out. So the other understanding of the Mishnah is, if you have a secret, don't tell anyone. Because if you tell someone, then you got to understand it's going to get out, and everyone will know that you're the one that let it out. So that's our Mishnah Dalit.